Today we are taking one, we're kind of coming into the latter half, or I'm picking something from the latter half, and it's structured a little bit more along what we typically think of with the Proverbs, and this sort of begins as you read through the book after chapter 10, where we see these short little one-verse snippets that are words of wisdom. And that's exactly what we get here in chapter 22, verse 6, which is, well, probably one of the most famous proverbs out there, especially when it comes to parenting. And we're going to deal with this here this morning. So this is Proverbs 22, verse 6, one verse. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. This is the word of the Lord. Join me in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the wisdom that ensues from it. We pray for that wisdom to inhabit us this morning. Holy Spirit, flow through this place. Give us the guidance, the mindfulness to be aware of how and if you are speaking to us. Help us to see that we all have a role to play as members of the body of Christ. Give us strength. Give us your spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen. Nathan, I do have a PowerPoint here too. So, kind of my opening story here is an interesting one. An interesting story that began one cool winter eve or night in Michigan. And there is this group of youthful, blissful gaggle of girls kind of just enjoying this wonderful evening and thinking, well, it would be good of them to do, well, a nice little prank on their new youth pastor. And so in order to do that, this girl decided, I think one of the best things that we could do would be to teepee her house. Right? Because that's always the fun thing to do to people. It's really fun to clean up. But in order to teepee somebody, guess what you need? You need toilet paper. And so, where is the best place to get toilet paper for a teenage girl? Well, of course, the gas station, because it's quick, it's easy. They do call it a convenience store, after all. And so that is where this gal went to get toilet paper from the convenience store, the gas station. So she gets this roll of toilet paper from the gas station and heads off on her youthful adventure, laughing, having a great old time, and they manage to teepee the crud out of her youth pastor's front yard, the trees and all that around. And lo and behold, in the middle of their misadventure, they're busted. Their youth pastor catches them. But these are crafty young ladies. Instead of, you know, profusely apologizing, they convince their youth pastor that she should go with them and teepee other people. That's a great influence right there. But here, just in the middle of this, as they are making their plans to go out and teepee other people, in the middle of this, they get busted even worse by the police. You see, Cassie went to the gas station and didn't buy the toilet paper. And the attendant was kind of mindful of this. She went into the bathroom with a coat on that didn't have bulges on it, but yet came out with a big bulge in her coat. And the attendant noticed this and went into the bathroom after she had left and noticed the big roll of toilet paper gone. And so she called the police. The attendant did, that is. And in a small town, you can imagine it doesn't take long to find the house that has toilet paper draped all over it. And you can imagine where things would ensue from there. Of course, $200 later and a lifetime ban from the gas station bathroom. Cassie's life of crime was ended early. The story is used with permission this morning, I assure you. But Cassie's kind of story, her little lifetime of crime is not the only misadventure many of us could speak to of our youth. Right? It's no wonder that the youth or the people of this age, or the youth of this age, can relate to the song by Khalid, "Young, Dumb, and Broke." Right? That is the anthem of all anthems for our youth, right? It's just absolutely true. We all have those moments. Youthful zeal ensues and we do dumb things and that's just the way life kind of goes. I bring this up in light of Proverbs chapter 22 verse 6 because I think it's important to how we should understand this verse. You see, if we're frank, if we're honest, this verse has caused many a parent to lose sleep at night. Many of you, probably sitting here this morning, have thought of this verse, thought of your children, and lost sleep over it. It's the verse that has caused many people to feel guilt after, their children walk away from the faith. And I think the reason for that is because we've assumed that the thrust of this verse is such that it's directed to parents, right? Directed to parents with the assumption that you need to train your children up in the way that they should go. And if they don't go that way, you did something wrong. It's your fault. This is the feeling that I think many have felt as they have read this verse. But what if this is not the primary point of this passage? What if it's only an implication of it? I want to make the case for you this morning that it is not the primary point of this passage. In fact, I believe that the primary point for this passage is rather a warning to youth to shed their youthful ways and to grow instead in the way of wisdom. Right, that's my thesis this morning, and I hope to make the case that this passage is more about us calling our youth to eventually shed their youthful ways and grow in the way of wisdom. Okay, so that's my thesis. Let me see if I can make my case. To begin looking at this, let's start with the translations. Many of you probably know the Old Testament was written primarily in Hebrew, the entire Old Testament, most of it anyways. And so as this is an Old Testament passage, it was originally written in Hebrew. Now, as it's translated, there are kind of some of our three most popular versions of the scriptures today translated very close to the same. So we've read our passage this morning, the NIV, that just says, start children off in the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Okay? That's the NIV. The English Standard Version, or ESV, is very similar. Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Right? So not too much of a difference there. And then finally, the good old trusty King James Version even sounds very similar as well. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So these are very, very similar. And if you're curious, this is what it looks like in Hebrew as well, right? I know many of you can probably are just squinting to read that, right? But this is what the verse looks like in Hebrew. And we're going to dig into that a little bit here in a second. So there are two kind of translation issues with this as we read this verse that I want to start with here. Let's take the NIV version, the version we read this morning, and go from there. The first translation issue that I want to kind of point to is interesting, maybe not quite as important, but I think it is interesting to the overall point of the text. And it starts with the very beginning phrase of the passage. Start children off. Just that simple phrase that's translated, start off. Right? This word literally in the Hebrew can be translated as dedicate. Everywhere else that it's translated in the Old Testament, that's used in the Old Testament and translated, it is translated as dedicated. Here in Proverbs, this is the only spot where it is translated as start off or train up. And so this is important for us to note because dedicate is a religious word. And so the Hebrew people would have immediately sort of related to that in sort of a religious context, right? Thinking of devotion, how are you devoted in a certain way that you go about your life, right? So they would have resonated with that right away. Now the second one is a bit more significant, I think, and it has to do with the simple word should. The reality is it's not even there in the Hebrew. It is a word that is added by the translators to sort of give context, give sort of direction for the passage. But the reality is you can understand the passage without it. It makes perfect sense. So if we take our translation so far and we say dedicate a youth in the way he will go, you get what that means, right? That makes total sense, even if we remove the should. So that's something to bear in mind. And it actually makes sense when we consider the final point that I will make here on this interpretation. And it has to do with the phrase on the way they should go. This whole phrase is a Hebrew idiom, right? A figure of speech used by the Hebrew people. It literally means according to his mouth. So this is a phrase that would be spoken by servants who are speaking on behalf of a king or something to that effect. So a servant or somebody representing somebody would come in and say, by the mouth of, or according to the mouth of the king. They would, and this is how we know that this is an idiom, right? A figure of speech used by the Hebrew people. And so this is, when we put all of this together, this is really interesting. It creates for us a bit of a different context or a different feel for the translation. Dedicate a youth according to his mouth, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Dedicate a youth according to his mouth, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, I don't know if you get that. It's a subtle, yet very significant change in this passage. It's almost as if it's telling us that if a youth were to continue to go in the way of their own desires, their own heart, that is the way that they will follow their entire life, their own inclinations and such. It's almost as if it is a sarcastic verse. You know, let a youth continue in his evil ways and he will not depart from it. You can see, maybe get a sense of what that sarcasm is. See, the reality is as we read through the book of Proverbs, we see that the youthful ways are foolishness. The word for youth is used 6 other times throughout the book of Proverbs, and each one of them are speaking of a way of foolishness. You know, like stealing toilet paper from a bathroom at a gas station. Being young, dumb, and broke, as Khalid might say. Now, I make this point not to de-emphasize the importance of our youth and the need for them to be involved in things as a community. And I'm not saying that they cannot or should not make meaningful contributions at all. I don't think that's what the book of Proverbs is teaching as well. What I think it is teaching, and I think you would probably freely admit, speaking directly to our youth or young people here this morning, is that you don't have all the experience yet. You haven't fully understood your place in God's design for your life. And therefore, admittedly, you would say you are not the wisest of people. And you need people to share their wisdom with you, to share their experiences, to guide you and walk with you along the way. So that, as I think I've made the case for this morning, so that you can shed your youthful or foolish ways and eventually walk in the path of wisdom, the way that God has called you to walk. Now, bearing that in mind, parents, body of Christ, members of the church, even though I would say that this is a warning to put off youthful or foolish ways, you are not off the hook. What is the secondary implication of this passage? The implication is that our youth, our young people, need to be taught. They need to be trained. They need someone to show them the way of the wise. They need someone to show them the way in which they should dedicate themselves. And so in many ways, when we think about our parenting technique, this is a picture that we are called to discipline and correct our children very, very much. In fact, I would argue that you have a biblical obligation to do just that. Just a few verses later in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15, it says this, "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it away." This being the case, this buddy-buddy sort of passive or permissive parenting style that's often propagated by our culture today has no place in a biblical worldview. Hebrews chapter 12 talks of how God disciplines us as His children, because that's what a loving father does. And so if discipline is an act of love for us from God, then how much more is it an act of love from us to our children as we correct them and teach them to walk the path of the wise? Here's a different spin, too, a different way to sort of think about this, a different perspective. As I've had conversations with many of you now over 2 years, I've heard many of you say to me that evangelism, that is reaching out, sharing our faith, it's scary. Right? And quite frankly, many of you have said to me, you don't even know where to begin or how to do it, or you're just fearful of it. And I would suggest to you this morning that one of the greatest opportunities for evangelism or outreach might be sitting right next to you in the pews this morning. Think about this. You have a captive audience. You have constant opportunities throughout your interaction with your children to have conversations about faith, about spiritual things, about how that you incorporate that into all of your life. And I would argue, quite frankly, as I've seen as a parent and as a pastor, you not only have a captured audience, you have a curious audience as well. A curious audience that will get answers from somebody, if not you. There's a reason why discipline is a derivative of disciple. One of the most crucial aspects of discipleship is the accountability and the correction that we receive when we're in that sort of relationship with someone. And so therefore we should offer it all the more to our children as well. And members of the body of Christ, whether your children are old and grown, no longer, part of the congregation or whatever the case, you have a role to play as well. This is how you fulfill your baptismal vows. There's a reason why you stand and take a vow when we baptize a baby. You are called to pray for them, to speak into their lives, to love them as Christ would love them as well. You have wisdom to offer. You have something to give and abilities and gifts to invest in the youth of this body. This is why we are called into community. The Bible knows nothing of Lone Ranger Christianity, and this is part of the reason why we are called to sharpen one another, to grow one another, to hold one another accountable. Last point I want to make this morning has to do with the fear that you may have or have had as you think of your parenting relationships or relationships with the youth around you. Because I think that there's a fear in each and every one of us who take a child into our hands that says, what if I mess up? Or if your children are grown, I have messed up, and you recognize this. See, the reality is you will mess up. Let's just be honest. Make no mistake. I've often said of myself that it's not a matter of if I will scar my children, but how much. And this is the beauty of the gospel, though. You see, what better opportunity do we have to display the principles of the gospel when you humbly ask your children for forgiveness, when you've done something wrong to them or against them? Even if your children are old and grown, and maybe these things are long, long gone, you still have this wonderful chance to mend fences as you repair relationships. Like Jesus repaired our relationship, mended our fence with God when he became like us, restoring us to right relationship by going to the cross for our sins. Because here's the thing, Jesus knew that you would mess up. He knew that you would fail often as a parent, as a member of the body of Christ. And yet he went to the cross anyway. He went to restore both you, me, your children, and your children's children to right relationship with God as you trust in him. See, in those moments when we need forgiveness from our, even our children, What great opportunity is it to show that you are in just in need of a Savior as your kids are. That, my friends, is how we show the greatness and the beauty and the glory of the gospel. I pray as we are impacted by the gospel, we train and impact our kids with it as well. Kids that are ours physically, right, biologically, but also ours spiritually as members of the body of Christ, so that they can grow up and shed their youthful ways and live in the wisdom of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace as we've so often fall short, especially in this area. We know it. We do. But yet that doesn't stop pride from seeping in and causing us to not ask for grace, not ask for forgiveness, even from our children. They need to see that gospel character in us. So Lord, I pray that we would be a people very willing to display it. Grant us your grace and your peace. Help us to feel your presence when we fail. Help us to draw close to you always, and especially when we need you the most. We lift these things up in the name of Jesus. Amen.